Well, thank you for coming this morning. Turn over to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 14, I believe. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 14. We'll be reading one verse there. We're going to try to take a thought from it. How many of you this morning love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Tell you what. There's nobody else. There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Yes.
Than right here.
Amen.
But I know that there's other people that want to. They'd Walmart and Food Line and Lowe's and Home Depot and all this. But you know something? Walmart's going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Food Line's going to be there tomorrow. Home Depot and Lowe's and them, they're going to be there tomorrow. And I know the Lord's going to be there also. But we should not have to forsake his house just to go and visit these places. But here over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 8, it says this, O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Here we see where he's speaking about a stranger. And I know these speaking about the Israelites, the people's been a stranger. But I want to look at the thought this morning, where God is the stranger today. He is the stranger in God's house, in his place of worship, in his sanctuary. And we see where in America, where the Lord has been set aside, the Word of God has been set aside, the prayer has been set aside. And you know, these individuals that's on TV or in Washington and they'll up there, they'll have in Congress, when Congress opens and everything, they'll have their minister, who it is, to come and pray for that day's what's going on that day. But if you'll ever notice any of them, they can never stand there and pray without reading it. And they have to read it from word by word. And yes, and they got it memorized and everything and all, but some of the words that they use, I don't understand them. They might well be speaking in tongues as far as I'm concerned, because I don't understand what they're saying. But I believe that in Washington, And I'm going to say this because I believe, I can back your word up about this, but I believe in the government system that we have in the city of Danville, in the state of Virginia, and in Washington, D.C., is that when a man of God gets up there and when he prays over what they're going to do that day, or budgets, or the chamber, or whatever, I think he needs to have a sincere heart. He needs to have a sincere heart to where he can get in touch with God. That's what's wrong with America. We have too many men of God out here that cannot get in touch with God. They don't know anything about the power of God. That's the reason that I say that God is a stranger here in America. He's a stranger in a whole lot of churches. He's a stranger in a whole lot of individuals' lives that trusted, that they said that they come forth and they can tell you the date, time, when, or whatever, that they give their heart and their life to Jesus. But he's a stranger to their life. And we need to realize, not only is he a stranger to thy lives, but he's a stranger within the church. Why? Why? We can see it. We have very few conversions today. We have very few people today that's surrendering their life to the Lord. And we don't see many preachers in it. I mean, many young men anymore surrendering to preach. Now, I haven't been saved all that many years, but since 1980. It's been in August to be 36 years. But I've seen, within that time, I've seen some young men that were surrendered to the call of God. And if, when they surrender to God, they know what they need to do. Not only that, they know what Bible that they need to get. They know what they need to do for the Lord. And there's too many, I'm going to say this because I is one. We have too many pastors out here today that has give up the idea that they need to go out and visit. They're in the hospital this past Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Thursday. I was up there, and while they was drawing the fluid off, me and one of the nurses, we was talking. And she's asking me how long I had this problem and everything. I said, well, really, I really don't know. Maybe a couple years, I don't know. But Dr. Guy, he just found it. And he sent me to another doctor. I says, but that's not but one thing that I really wished I could start doing. Well, she said, are you still preaching? I said, yeah. I says, there's one thing that I wished I could start doing that I was doing at one time. And that's going out and visiting people. And visiting, inviting people to the house of the Lord. And she says, you know something? The church I go to, our pastor never visits. I say, he doesn't? I says, I don't understand that. I says, first of all, did he start preaching before he got saved? I says, when I got saved, I became a Christian. And my Christian duty is to go out here and be a witness for him. Go out here and visit the people. And let the people know that in whom I serve. And I says, that's the only thing that really right now I would love to do. I would love to be able to have my strength back and my muscles would be strong enough in my legs where I wouldn't have to worry about going out here and walking through the yard with somebody. And I wouldn't stumble and fall. I said, I'd want to do that. I says, but I can't. And I says, you know, I heard one time there in, I heard one preacher said in God's vocabulary, there's two words that's not in him. The first one is a two-letter word. And that word is if. If. Because when you use the word if, you're doubting God. And the other word is a five-letter word. And that word is can't. We shouldn't use them kind of words, but you know something? But when you get to the point in your life and you can't do this and you can't do that, and you want to do that and do this, then you know what the word can't means. The Lord knows all about it. But we don't have no people anymore. We don't have no prayer warriors anymore. We don't have no people anymore that will just get by the side and just come up to the altar at any given time and just pray for the services. I think I told you when I first come here, which if I didn't, I'm sorry that I didn't do it. But I believe that every time that we come into the house of God, once that door is unlocked and once the light is turned on, well, the lights don't even have to be turned on, but as soon as the door is unlocked and as soon as an individual come in, alrighty. The altar, it should be always open to anybody that wants to come down and pray for a loved one, pray for somebody within their family that's lost. You don't see that much anymore. Why? Because God's a stranger. God is a stranger. Why is God a stranger? Why? Because the people don't love him like they should. The government don't recognize God. And I seen something this week. There was on the news, and it really disturbed me. The inmates, the prisoners that have been locked up for 15, 20, and 30 years. Did you realize now they have more rights than you do? The governor of Virginia, he's not my governor, but the governor of the state of Virginia, he signed a bill and passed a law that is when the inmates come out, automatically they can go and vote. So if he's going to allow them to vote, he's going to also allow them to carry a firearm. See, they ain't saying anything about that. But see, that's the reason when they went to, when if you do the crime, you do the time. That's the reason when they went to prison that they lost something. They just didn't lose the battle in the courthouse, but they lost something in life. When they do get out of jail, because they cannot go ahead and do certain things. But all them rights have been taken away. They've been taken away from us. But yet they turn around and give it to them. I wonder what the governor of the United States, I wonder what the governor of Virginia would say if as soon as he lets them out, and he's going to let a bunch of them out before November, and he's going to reinstate each and every one of them. They're going to be reinstated to where they can vote. The reason for that is so Hillary Clinton can go in as a president. Well, I'll tell you, I know I ain't supposed to preach it by politics and anything, but anybody that will vote for Hillary Clinton for the president of the United States, I feel sorry for them. I really do. She don't deserve it. Matter of fact, she don't even deserve to even vote. There's much deadness around us. We can go around and we can see, and we can see somebody over there, and we can notice somebody over there that used to come to church. And we'll go over to them and we'll visit them and just tell them that we'll be missing you. But we notice the reason we've been missing them is because of the individuals that they're hanging around with. The church today don't have no vision. The people, the Christians don't have no vision anymore. Where there is vision, where there is no vision, the people will perish. And what has been happening to the United States? People's been perishing on every side. Why? We don't have nobody in Washington that's got a vision. And going back to that vision and seeing where the United States come from. We got people up in Washington, D.C. that probably believe, and even the president probably believes, that the United States just existed. It didn't just exist. We had men and we had women from overseas to come and to seek out this land. And why did they seek out this land? They sought after this land to where they could get back to the Word of God, where they could get back worshiping God, because it was being taken away from them back then in England. That's the reason America was founded. It was founded on principle. It was founded on God's principles. It was founded on the blood and the sacrifice are the men and women that went to in harm's way. One thing I haven't seen yet, but unless the Christian starts speaking up, I got a feeling it's going to start happening. You know, we have people out here now, and majority of them are teenagers, and not, I ain't going to say all of them are, but you got a bunch of thugs out here, and that's what I'm going to call them. A bunch of thugs. They would step on that flag. They would burn it. But let me ask you something. What about this one? Have you seen them burn that flag yet? This one. The Christian flag. No. You want me to tell you the reason why? Because they know as soon as they do that, they ain't going to have to wait for Washington. They ain't going to have to wait for the city government. God's going to take care of them. God's going to take care of them. And God's going to do things to them that they have no idea that they would ever go through. There's no vision. There's no victory. I know we can come to the house of the Lord and people can come in, and yes, we can see this. We can sing the song of victory, and they can, and the people that comes in, they can just get on in there. They can pick it up. They can sing it. Why? They know that we have the victory. I know I have the victory. I've read the last part of the book. I know where it's going to come out at. Now, I don't know if it was you or Sister Betty or Sister Nancy one that sung the song about the words where it has words in it. You age and you won't grow no older. When we get to heaven, I'm 65 now. But praise be unto God, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have the glorified body at the age of 33. I have a promise. He's promised me that in his book. And he can't go back on his promise, because if he did, then what we're doing here this morning is in vain. But we know it's not in vain. We know that we're going one day. I do not know the time, the date, the second, or nothing. But I do know one thing. He says he's coming back. He didn't tell me the day, the time, an hour, nothing. But he says he's coming back, and I believe him. I believe in him. And my prayer is, as long as I try my very best to serve the Lord, that he's not going to be a stranger in my life. But he's a stranger in a whole lot of individuals' lives today. How many individuals that you know of that used to come to church here and and you knew or you thought that they were saved, but they're not, they don't come to church here anymore, they don't even go to church nowhere, but to claim to be a Christian. How can it be? How can it be? How can it be that they think that they are Christians? Who has given them that mentality, thinking that they are Christian? I don't know. The same God that sent the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to fulfill the Father's job, whatever you want to call it. He came. Jesus came because why? That's what his Father wanted him to do. And he done everything that his Father asked him to do. Have we done everything the Father has asked us to do? Have we? Have we done some things that maybe the Father is not pleased with us about? I know I have. But, you know, we got to have also, we have got to learn, and we got to be prepared that where, when we speak as Christians, we can speak with boldness. With boldness, we can speak. Much boldness in the life of the Christian. Where's much boldness anymore? Where's the boldness of people that when something like this happens or something comes within the church, and if they, well, you know, they visiting, we don't want to upset them. We don't want to sit to our apple cart. So we'll just mind them this time and we'll let them go on. No, you can't do that. This is God's house. And we can't allow stuff to go on in God's house that's not appropriate. Now, I'll tell you, I don't like really drinking this water. But the only reason I have it up here is because sometimes my mouth gets so dry. And then I got my tongue sticking to the top of the roof of my mouth, and I can't even talk. That's the only reason. But this is a place of worship. This is a place for us to get in touch with God. Don't get me wrong. I know we can get in touch with God outside. We can get in touch with God at home. But don't it feel so good when we can go to God and ask Him for something, ask Him to help us for this or that, when we in His house? And He turns around and says, I'll help you, daughter. I'll help you, son. Don't it feel good? It does to me. It doesn't matter. I've always, since I've been saved, I've always loved to be in the house of God. I know sometimes I got fretted. When I was just a member of church, I'd get fretted with men. I'd get fretted with somebody in the church. Next service, I'd stay at home. But then my daughter would, she'd jump on me. She says, Daddy, you know it ain't right. You're just giving in to the old devil. And she was right. I give in to the devil more times than I want to remember. But I always came back. Always came back. Why? Because the people in the church and the Lord drew me back in. Drew me back in. The fear. We have so many people today. This fear of death. Why is that? Because they're lost. That's the only reason they fear it. It's because of being lost. Because they don't know anything about the Heavenly Father. Oh, they say they've read the book. They say, yeah, I've been to church, and I even joined the church. Well, you can join all the churches in the city of Danville, Pennsylvania, Canada, state of Virginia, and even in the United States if you want to. It don't make no difference. And you can be baptized in all the churches. But when it comes right down to it, is what have you done with Jesus? Have you called on the name of Jesus? Have they? They don't know how anymore. They don't know how. And that is the fault of the man of God to stand behind the pulpit. Why? Because he don't really encourage his people to go. Pick up your phone and call someone. I mean, now we even got a phone now that, hey, we can call from here to Africa if we wanted to. And just to see how somebody's doing. All we have to do is just pick up your phone and time we put the number in and everything and hit send. What? 30 seconds? 45 seconds later? You'll be speaking to them in a foreign land. You don't have no long distance calls anymore. We don't need to worry about how we get in touch with people. Because we have so many ways, so many different ways this day and time to get in touch with people. Here about 10 years ago, I told my wife something. I said, well, I'm going to try to see if I can build me a website. And I was over at the radio station and on Saturday morning, I was over about a year, I reckon. And I just built it and trying to put my messages online and everything. But I built the website mainly for God's Word. Because in the name of the website was Consider God's Word. And I had that the heading of it, but right up under it I had the King James Bible. And I had scripture and scrolling through and everything, and I had the Bible online where they could come in and they could get the Bible and Bible study or whatever they wanted to online, but it was all King James. There weren't no some of this other mess that they got out here now. But I put that online. And I put it online for a reason. That there may be somebody that I don't know that maybe that could reach them. If they would just happen to see it. And I put some songs on there, Christian songs, to come out to hymn books. And I started getting emails where people was thanking me for what I was putting on there. About six, seven, maybe 8 months after I had published it and put it online where people could just click on it, go to the search engine and scroll down and click on everything. But about 6 or 7, 8 months later, I got an email. I don't know the gentleman. I don't know exactly what city he lived in, but it was in the state of Arizona. And he just, telling me some stuff about the website that he liked. And he must have liked it. It ain't what I done. It's all what Jesus done. He gave his testimony at the end. He said he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. That right there means a whole lot. People don't realize that right there is a tool to use to reach people. And there's a little joy among believers today. Why? Because they're pressured so much. You talk about the young people in school and they're talking about peer pressure. I don't think just the peer pressure is on just the young people. I think we have a peer pressure on every individual. Why? Because they have no joy. If you don't have no joy and you don't have no peace, what have you got? Nothing. You really don't. Our joy has gone, has failed us. Why? Because God is a stranger to us. Don't let God be a stranger in your life. And we'll lose the joy for the Christian. The Christian will lose the joy for not coming to church. Did you realize that I could, let's take for instance this right here. I know it's just a piece of paper. But just let's imagine that this piece of paper right here is a $100 bill. And I have that $100 bill in my back pocket. And I'm driving up the highway. And I see where the gas tank's getting kind of low. And for where I'm headed to, it's going to take more gas. So then I get to my pocketbook. While I'm driving, I'll just pull out my pocketbook. and I'll just take and pull that $100 bill out. Because that's all that I got. Then so I can pull in at the next stop and I can fill up with gas. Then I can be on my way to my destination. Here it is in the summertime. The air conditioning on the vehicle's not working all of that proper and everything. So I got the window down on the car. But here I am, I'm holding that $100 bill right here where I can go right in up out. I see the service station in a distance. And I'm going to pull in there and get some gas. And me not thinking, I just lay my arm up on the windshield. I don't know if I don't know if Bill does it or not. But I do. In the summertime, if I got my window down, I will sometimes, I'll just lay my arm on the door. And then all of a sudden, a gust of wind comes by because a transfer truck had just went around me. It got a hold of that $100 bill. And that $100 bill went out in the wind. And I know exactly when it happened. So I stopped, got out of my vehicle, and I went back to see if I could find it. I couldn't find it nowhere. Couldn't see it. And I was really worried at that time because I didn't have no money to even get my gas. Fill up or get a dollar's worth of gas. So then I got in my automobile and I said, well, I'm going to see if I can make it up here at the service station, right up here. And I'll call my wife. Get her to bring me some money up here. And in the meantime, me going to the service station right up the road, I happened to get out of my car there at the service station, and I see on the ground that there's something that's folded up. And I go and I look at it and I pick it up. I just pick it up and just throw it in the trash. But when I picked it up, it's a $20 bill. What did I say? I said, thank you, Lord, for this. I needed some money to where I could be able to put some gas in my automobile. I want to ask you something. Did the Lord bless me? Even though I lost $100 bill. And then I found a $20 bill. Yeah, the Lord blessed me. The Lord wasn't going to just bless me for that moment, but He was going to bless me on day on end. What I'm trying to say is, we can lose the blessing at a very, at a time that when we really need a blessing from the Lord. But now, if I had a complaint to the Lord and say, Lord, why did you allow Satan to do that? Because see, the Father, He has to give Satan the okay to do anything to one of His children.
Satan just can't come up and attack me and attack you because he sees a desire to. He has to go to the Father. Just like he did Job. Just like he did Abraham. He has to go to the Father and ask the Father's permission. But then I turn around and I complain. And I complain about this. And I say, oh no, I ain't got no money now to get me no gas. I lost a $100 bill and I'm just going to get some gas. Then I'm going to use some old money to go out here and do something else with it and everything. But no, I didn't do that. I just said, Lord, just be with me the rest of the day. Allow me to be able to go and be able to call my wife where she can bring me some money where I can get some gas to get back home. He provided for the $20 bill to be there. At that particular spot, when I drove up on the parking lot, why did I drive up right there? And I stopped at that pump. The Lord knew what I needed. That $20 at that time, to me, it looked better than a $1,000 bill. Why? Because it was something that I was in need of. See, I didn't want that $100 bill back. I didn't say, Lord, I said, you're going to give me $100. You are going to allow me to receive that $100 back, ain't you? I didn't say that. Why? That's a want to. I don't need to want to. I need the needs. What I need the needs for? I need the needs to go out here and meet his needs. To meet his needs. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has needs also. He don't like to whimper. He don't like to cry all the time. But he does. He does cry. And he does weep. Over who? Me and you. Why? Because we're not doing what we need to be doing for the Lord. We're not going out here and visiting. We're not getting on the phone and calling people. That's one thing that we need to do before we get on the phone and call somebody. And I'm just as guilty of this. Get on the phone and just start talking to somebody and just about gossiping. What I need to do Lord, what I need to do myself, I need to quit getting on the phone and I need to quit gossiping. I need to be on the phone or sharing the gospel. The preacher that was down at church down in matter of fact, we support the children's home down there in South Carolina. Yeah. The pastor that was there before, he's dead and gone now, but he's there in heaven. But I got one of his books at the house. One of his books, it says this. We need more Christians. Speaking about the gospel and speaking of the gospel and speaking of the gossip that will tear the church up.
I don't have anything at all to gossip about. I'm just meddling in somebody else's business. I don't need to meddle into their business. I don't need to meddle at all. What I need to be doing, I need to be talking to them as a Christian. I need to be talking to them where they can have the joy. And I thank God today that He allows me to be able to, when I'm reading His Word, to see things in my own life that He can help me with. And I need all the help I can get. I need all the help I can get from you here at the church. I need all the help I can get from the Lord. And when I study, I need all the help I can get. One thing about it, the more I read and the more I try to study this, the Word right here, is the more that I get to the point that I don't know nothing. The least I know, I don't know anything. Because I'll say, well, that verse of Scripture, I knew that. But then I'll go back in and I'll read something else. And the Lord will say, well, you need this right here for a message. So you get that up and you read that for a message. And then you go somewhere else and read another Scripture for a message. I said, well, doggone. I didn't know that. If I didn't know it, I don't know the Scripture. See, that's what we think as human beings. If we look at it and we read it, if we don't understand it, we say something wrong with us. Been a Christian for years, and I've been reading the Bible for years. That's the reason I know the author that wrote this book. When I open this book and when I read it, the author is right there with me, teaching me what this says. It's the only author that will ever do that. There's no other author. Oh, yeah, you can go out here and you can buy these books and everything, and you can get the CDs with them and everything, and they read it back to you. But are they telling you what's going on? No. Only thing they can do is just read what they're reading, and that's it. That's all it is. But this right here is a Bible. This right here is a book. This right here is one book with many books in it. And it's for us. Just think about it. And I'm going to close with this. Just think about this now. What would it be like if He give us everything that He ever said? And every book that He wanted, that He had written, and He'd give it to us in one volume. In one volume. In one book. We couldn't even tote the book. Our automobiles couldn't even carry the book.
would be so big. And the reason he didn't give us all that, because he knows that we'd get hung up on certain things that was there, that it would defeat us in the long run. Our Father, we want to thank you today, Lord Jesus, for being with us. Lord, we just want to praise your name this morning. And Lord, Father, you are not a stranger here at Faith Baptist Church. You're welcome anytime that you want to come. You're welcome all the time here. And you're welcome within the hearts of the people. And Father, I know these people here. I believe I know them well enough to know that they welcome you. And Father, that they don't want you to be a stranger to them. And they will not be a stranger to you, and they're not a stranger to you. And Father, I do thank you, Lord Jesus, where you're not a stranger to me. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that I will never be a stranger to you because of the things that you've done for my life. Continue to be with Faith Baptist Church. Continue to be with all the members here. Father, we ask you now, Lord Jesus, that you may do something far better than what we would ever imagine. Father, we're looking to thee for your guidance and your leadership. We just want to all thank you this morning. Because it's in the sweet and the lovely name that we pray. Amen and amen.